on Racing HQ. Racing HQ. Racing HQ. Here's On the Pace.
Smolder lifting too strong. Smolder. The Kiwi has won the Endomainian.
But it is all Lazarus clear of Tiger Tara. And once again, Lazarus has arisen.
Big show coming up today. We've got plenty to get through. Obviously, Andrew's mentioned that big, big afternoon at Menangle on Sunday. We'll have a good look at that. Luke McCarthy's going to join me this morning to speak about all of his drives on Sunday. We'll also have a chat to him about Bling It On. Of course, Bling It On was in Queensland, raced on Saturday night at Albion Park in the Lucky Creed, getting ready for the Winter Carnival. Unfortunately, Bling It On fell in that race, and he was rushed off to the Gatton Uni on Saturday night. So we'll also get an update on Bling It On with Luke. Also this morning, we'll catch up with Gavin Fitzpatrick, who's got a couple of drives in the feature races on Sunday. And I want to speak with Darren McCall. He is the president of the UHRA, and there has been an announcement about a new metropolitan handicapping system. We spoke about this on a couple of occasions on this program with John Dumazy. We've had a good chat to him about that. And just to, at that stage when we were discussing it, it hadn't been agreed upon by everyone, but it now has been. So we will see a new handicapping system for the metropolitan area from the 1st of July. I'll just run you through, before we get Darren on, I'll just run you through the release and what it says, so that everyone understands where we're at. This handicapping system for the metropolitan meetings conducted at Tabcorp Park, Menangle, will be in place for a minimum trial period of 3 months, after which it will be assessed again. The handicapping system is based on the total earnings of the nominated horses in their last five starts, excluding MO win dollars in the last five, which will determine the race of four probable races the horses will be drawn. The dollars earned in their last five stakes, excluding those MO dollar wins, will also provide the barrier draw order. So effectively, if they get 40 horses, the horses that have won the most money in their last five starts will fill the top race, and they will race for the top prize money of $30,000. The horse that's won the most in the last five starts will start from barrier number 10, and it filters down from there. Darren McCall is the president of the UHRA. It's the body that looks after and represents the horsemen, and he's joining me on the show to have a chat about it. Morning, Darren.
Morning, Greg.
Mate, this decision, the announcement that from the 1st of July, the new handicapping system will be in place for the metropolitan area for horses that are assessed M1 or better, a good news for horsemen in New South Wales.
I feel it is very good news. It's been something that has been used throughout other countries in the world for a long period of time, it's shown there that it definitely generates a longer racing life in your horse. So I think once we all kind of get a little educated on it and work out how it goes, it'll be great for the sport.
Speaking with a few different trainers on Saturday night, everyone seems to be behind it. There is a little bit of people are going to have to give it some time, maybe a month or so before we see it fully work, because basically you need to get into the system and race consistently to be moving up and down the grades with the dollars you've won in your last five starts.
Yeah, that's correct. You know, leaving them at home is not going to move you anywhere in your class. So as you race, whether you win or lose, you're always moving somewhere, and that's the whole idea. It's about keeping those horses competitive so owners can make money, trainers and drivers can make money. And the thing is that because your horse might have been good at one period of their career, it don't mean to say that, 2 years down the track that he's not quite at his best. And, there's no real need for a healthy, sound horse to actually be pushed on to somewhere else, or North America or to another state. This will enable us to keep racing these horses and make them viable for everyone.
I guess a sporting analogy might be a top rugby league player, a top cricket player who has got past his best, and he still wants to be involved and he still wants to play, but he can't compete at that top level anymore, but there's still a place for him somewhere in the grades to continue being a part of the sport.
Yeah, correct. It's almost like going up and down a ladder. It's probably the easiest way to explain it. As you win, and if you keep winning, you're obviously going to move up to the top. If you're not good enough at the top, as you lose, as your money drops off from your five starts, you start coming back down the ladder, and it's all good, having a horse go through his grades on the old system, but let's face it, probably 90% of them hit a wall somewhere, whether maybe C4, C5, or around that area, where they're really not that competitive anymore. And it's very hard to entice owners to come into the sport if you can't say we have this to actually make money down the track after that. So I feel this is going to be it's a big boost. I've raced under this system in North America for a long time, and found it to be very good. The money split is going to be a big thing for us here, because realistically, the way it's set up, you're not really taking a penalty unless that horse leaves the state. So the prize money distribution is better for the second, thirds, and so all in all, everyone makes more money. There's only 8 winners on a program, so that means there's a lot of people that lose, and that extra money we get for second, third, and fourth, and so on, at the end of the year adds up to quite a lot of money.
For example, for the horse that runs, let's say you've got a Metropolitan horse that is in that fourth tier, so he's the, in terms of dollars won, he's the 40th best horse nominated every Saturday night at Menangle, but he races for the 4 Saturday nights and he runs last in that bottom tier, he's still going to earn $900 for the month.
Correct. And the thing is, too, is that if he's really not competitive in that class and horses are actually pushing him out, so he actually eventually might be balloted, the horses that will be balloted will get the first race on the Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So those horses will still be in a competitive bunch of horses that have literally no money. So it's not like now, instance, if you have M1 or a better horse, C5, C6, you put him in on a Tuesday, you can strike a M8, C30. They'll actually be in on a Tuesday if they're balloted out of that bottom class, because they literally have no dollars, and put in their own race with horses who have literally no money together. So it'll be a competitive bunch of horses from the 4 races on the Saturday to the leftover ones that come to the Tuesday. So it's a win-win. I really can't see it being a problem. It's just a matter of, just 5 or 6 weeks till we see the horses coming up and going down, and everyone kind of sorts themselves out. After a while, you'll know about where your horse is kind of competitive in and where he gets up a little high where he probably won't be competitive in.
The mares haven't been forgotten either. That's important to point out. Obviously, a lot of owners don't want to see their mares going around against the boys each and every week and getting a toweling. So there is an allowance. There's a 20% discount on dollars earned in the last 5 if a mare is nominated. So that's a really good thing for the breeders.
Well, it is, and eventually, hopefully, we can have enough mares to drag their own races out of it each week in that class as well, which would be great for them, because being overseas, you never race a mare against a boy, and it's kind of unfair that we have to here, but that's just the way it's been. So, we didn't want to leave any out. We didn't want to leave the mares out. We definitely didn't want to leave the junior drivers out.
So, and it's the same for the junior drivers. If a trainer puts a junior driver on, they get a 20% concession on their dollars won in the last 5. You can't take the mares concession and the junior driver concession together, but you can take one or the other.
That's right, yeah, and the concession will allow you on your barrier draw, which could actually make a massive difference. It's not going to pull you out and put you into the class below, but in that race, it could, anywhere, depending on money won, it could probably drop you from 9 to 2 or 3, who knows. So you're going to get allowance. It was important to make sure that everyone was taken care of, the mares, the juniors, and I think once people realise how this system works, the big benefits are going to be reaping down the track. It's 6 weeks or so, we'll see the horses moving, but it's hopefully, like, when it's well supported, that this ain't just a trial period, this becomes actual full-time handicap system.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a big winner. I think you'll attract horses to the state as a result of this. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in July, August, September, and I've got no doubt it will be a winner. Darren, thanks for joining us today, and we'll probably touch base during the trial to see how it's being received by all of the trainers.
Thanks, Greg.
There he is, Darren McCall. So he's the boss of the UHRA, which represents the trainers and the drivers. And this new metropolitan handicapping system comes into effect from Saturday week. So the MOs still exist, your metropolitan maidens. But once a horse wins a metropolitan maiden, it goes into this pool of horses you will nominate. You won't see. You won't be able to see the other horses that have been nominated to race on that Saturday night. And importantly, and this is what a lot of punters who maybe not too interested in the metropolitan handicapping system changes might be thinking today, there's only going to be 10 horse fields, all off the front. We go away from the 12 horses and you will see 10 horse fields again at Menangle. So that's the new metropolitan handicapping system. Thought we'd have a chat this morning with Luke McCarthy, who has a big Sunday coming up, and he was a very busy man on Saturday night as well. Pretty tough one, I think, for Luke as well, but he's joining me on the show. Morning, Luke.
Yeah, good morning, Greg.
Mate, firstly, let's touch on Bling It On, because he has been a stable favourite for quite some time. Disastrous to see what happened on Saturday night when he fell and he's hurt his knees. What's the latest with him?
He went to the university, Greg, on Saturday night, straight after the races, so he's in, you know, the best hands he could possibly be in, and they had to do surgery on his knee on Sunday and make sure he got all the sand out of it. But the latest is it's, you know, they're as happy as they can be, you know, reasonably clean, and just, yeah, the next sort of 10 days is the most crucial part, and just hopefully doesn't get an infection in there. But, yeah, so it's like it's as good as it can be.
Best case scenario, when does he come back?
Oh, look, he'd be definitely out of work for a minimum 3 months, you know, 3 to 6 months. So, you know, and that just you worry what it'll do to him mentally as well. But anyway, best case scenario would be 3 months off.
All right. So obviously a pretty tough Saturday night for the stable. Mate, what about on the track? You had a pretty good night. You were driving the Purden horses. Vincent got the job done. And Mark will come over and drive those horses in the final. But you've still got some really good chances going into to Sunday's big meeting. A few of them I want to touch on. Firstly, Real Stride in the four-year-old Entires and Geldings. He's got a fantastic record, but he had to fight very hard on Saturday night and was able to pull out another victory.
Yeah, he's going really good, Greg. His runs have been super, and he can do a bit of work in his races. Barrier 14 over the mile makes it really hard. You know, I must congratulate Harness Racing New South Wales for going back to the 10 horse field. I think that's a big winner. You know, had he drawn 10 this week, he still could have probably went forward. But by the time, yeah, settle, and from 14 over a mile, it's ridiculous. So, you know, it's going to be hard, but he's still in with a chance.
In the Len Smith Mile, you're going to drive Mac Doro, who has been just behind some very nice horses of late. He's got that early gate speed, we know, but there's some speed drawn underneath him with the likes of Major Crocker in three, and even the stablemate All Black Strides drawn well in gate number two. Are you happy with how Mac Doro's been going of late?
Yeah, he's flying. His runs have been fantastic. Like last start, he got held up behind Lenny and got out late when Tiger Tara had all the momentum up, and you know, he only got beat ahead. So, you know, he's five's a good draw. He sort of should end up handy to the leaders without having to do too much work. And, you know, if he's sitting close enough to him, you know, he'll be right there at the finish.
The barrier draws opened that race right up with Hector JJ drawn out in effectively in nine and Lenny outside him and Tiger Tara off the back row. So there should be some speed on throughout.
Oh, they'll go quick, and, you know, hopefully it's a beautiful day and the weather's good and there's not much wind, and they'll run fantastic going.
Love My Sister. Out of that great race mare you had, Fleur de Lille, she goes around in the two-year-old fillies final. She hasn't had a lot of experience, and she looked to be going okay last start and just couldn't get a run. You happy with how she's been going?
Really happy with her. She's come a long way quick. We sort of had never intended on pushing her too much, and she just come to hand so well with preparation, and yeah, she's only had a couple of starts, but she's got a good draw, so she could sort of lob handy to the leaders. You know, I'm sure she'll run a really good race.
And Little Rascal in the last, his first run from New Zealand, he looked like he needed it, and since then he's been very good, a second and a couple of wins. He's drawn the second row again, but in the current form he's in, he's going to be competitive in that last race.
Yeah, definitely. He's following out a good beginner in Cold Major, so he's going to get a good run through. He'll sort of settle handy on the pace, and he'll be a good shot as well.
What do you think of the new handicapping system in the metro area?
Yeah, fantastic. I think, you know, we needed to do something, and I'm hoping that everyone supports it. And, like, you know, just like I said, it'll probably take a few months for it to get fully into swing with the horses, but I think you'll find there'll be horses come from interstate, New Zealand, everywhere to race in it, because as before, we sort of get our horses through M2, M3, and they get stuck there. And if they weren't up to the likes of the free-for-all Tiger Taras and whatever, even if they were competitive run third, fourth and fifth, which so many of them aren't, we've just had to sell them to America because that's the system they use over there. So essentially we're going to be able to keep these horses here and continue to race them.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the big winner. There's obviously a life after, you know, hitting their ceiling now, which is very important. And just quickly before I let you go, Vincent, what did you make of him on Saturday night? Little bit of a scare for the punters, but he really found when he had to.
Yeah, he went super. Like, they've gone 51 in the fog. You know, I think you'd find that it'd be probably 50 on Sunday if it's a clear day. He caught pressure the whole way, and I'm sure that run will bring him on, maybe just spot on for the weekend.
All right, mate. Well, thanks for joining us this morning. All the best of luck on Sunday, and of course, everyone thinking of Bling It On.
Thanks, Greg.
There he is, Luke McCarthy, who has got a number of good drives on Sunday, and is obviously dealing with the sad news about Bling It On. And fingers crossed, best case scenario, out of work for 3 months, but. Hopefully, fingers crossed, we see him back at the track. So that's Luke McCarthy. We're going to have a chat with Gavin Fitzpatrick in just a moment, who's got a couple of good drives on Sunday. And he would have to think that going into the Breeders' Challenge Series overall, he had a couple of nice chances without being blazing hopes. But a couple of horses have jumped out of the ground, including our Soho, who was very good, winning a semi-final, and he's joining me on the show. Morning, Gav.
Morning, Greg.
Mate, congratulations with our Soho. What are your thoughts going into Sunday's final?
Oh, yeah, she seems to be really hitting form at the right time, Greg. She her last couple of runs have been really good, and she's only lightly raced, so hopefully she can keep improving.
She goes around in the three-year-old fillies final. She's drawn six. There is an emergency drawn inside you, so she effectively goes to five. She showed really good speed to hold her good barrier in the semi-final. What do you do from five? Do you look to go forward and try and find a good spot in the early stages?
Yeah, I think we've got to, Greg. Yeah, she's got really good gate speed. Whether she's got enough to cross them, I probably doubt. But she's got to go forward and get a good position and, you know, hopefully then sort of wait for Don't Think Twice, I suppose, to come around.
Yeah, see, and that's the beauty in that race, because there's a couple of fillies that are drawn off the second row, Don't Think Twice, as you mentioned, and She's All Apples, who won the two-year-old Breeders' Crown 12 months ago. At some stage, those fillies have got to get into the race.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that's right. And, you know, there's a couple inside me, especially Royal Story. She likes to go forward and sort of keep them rolling. So hopefully there's a fair bit of speed on all the way, which should suit us. You know?
Prophecy. Now, she's down to trial. You guys cannot get a draw with her in a big race.
No, that's right. That's right. She's had no luck at all. She drew outside the front at Bathurst. She had no luck in the APG series and now here. So, yeah, things haven't gone right with the draw, but, we're happy with her. She's sort of gone good all season, so hopefully she can have a bit of luck early on Sunday.
I see that she's down to trial today.
She is, but we've changed our mind. We're not trialling her now. Yeah, we're just going to keep her at home.
Okay, keep her at home and put the finishing touches on her for Sunday at home. So, mate, which is the better? They both look like they've got each way hopes.
Yeah, they do. They do. I'd probably have to say because of the draws out Soho. With Prophecy, Molly Kelly drawing one makes it hard. So, yeah, I'd have to probably pick our Soho.
Well, mate, congratulations with how the team's going. And good luck with your two Group 1 drives on Sunday, and hopefully there's a win amongst them for you.
Yeah, hope so. Thanks, Greg.
There is Gavin Fitzpatrick, who will drive our Soho and Prophecy. The two-year-old Colts and Geldings final has just changed dramatically. I've just noticed that Lynn Sanity has been scratched, which means Divine State gets into the field. Now, Divine State would have been one of the favourites for the series going in. He got bailed up in his semi-final, never got out, missed qualification. But with the scratching of Lynn's Sanity, Divine State now gets a run and will start from barrier five with the other emergency coming out. So that's Very important for people who are betting through tab.com.au. Of course, all the markets are up. Well done to the team. They've done a fantastic job to get all of those markets out. But Divine State gets into the two-year-old Colts and Geldings final. Stablemate Lynn Sanity coming out. Mentioned with Luke, the Len Smith Mile, that race sponsored by tab.com.au. Really good race. And the barrier draw is perfect because you've got Major Crocker in four, MacDoro in five. They've both got good speed. Hector's drawn nine, but comes into seven. Lenny's drawn 10, comes into eight with the removal of the emergencies. And then you've got Tiger Tara, who's not a blinder off the gates, but he's drawn 14. So he's drawn four on the second row, and he's scheduled to follow out Major Crocker. So, and even with MacDoro on the outside of Major Crocker, you think there's going to be enough room for Tiger Tara if he can just push through in the early stages. And depending on what Hector and Lenny do, it could be a real burn to that first 400 metres. We saw what Hector was forced to do to find the front, the Miracle Mile. So that should be an absolute cracker. Just want to give a mention to Glenn McElhenney, who makes his return today. Glenn had a nasty fall recently and has spent some time on the sidelines, but the good news is that Glenn's back today. So good luck, mate, back at the races. He drives Mel Park Sunshine in race number one in the first in about 90 minutes' time. He's also got a couple of other drives on the program. He'll drive Just Tootsie in race number seven and Philandera for Johnny Tapp in race number nine. So great to see Glenn back at the races, one of the more experienced drivers going around, one of the veterans, and it's good to see him back after that nasty injury. So what comes up tonight on In the Gig? We've got a preview of what's happening on Sunday, obviously, with the Breeders' Crown and the Len Smith Mile being the features. Also going to catch up with David Martin, who is the CEO of Harness Racing Victoria. He's been in the job for a little while now, and obviously a lot of changes going on at the moment in Victoria. Big announcement on Saturday night that the Victoria Cup will move away from the Summer of Glory. Obviously, the Victoria Cup was won by Lazarus this year, and that was just a week before the Hunter Cup. The decision has been made to move that Victoria Cup to October. It'll be run on October 17, which means it is going to be run on the night that the Everest is run and also the Caulfield Guineas is run. It will go from a $400,000 race to a $200,000 race. And it'll be interesting to see what sort of field they can attract, because the New Zealanders, the good New Zealanders, will be getting set for races like the New Zealand Cup. And then you've got horses getting ready for an Inter-Dominion campaign as well. So we'll speak to David about that tonight on In the Gig. We'll also get his thoughts on the whip. We'll speak to him about that. And there's some other things happening in Victoria that are important for that state. So we'll speak with him. And then on Sunday, we've got a Fred's Rewind program. And I'll be back at about 10:30, I think, for a full preview of Sunday's race card with those 10 races. So really looking forward to that. And it should be a really good afternoon of racing, Andrew. So, yeah. Mate, good to catch up with Luke this morning, latest on Bling It On. At least there is some good news that the vets are happy with him. Next 10 days, obviously important with infection, getting into one bad knee, but both knees, the damage that was done from the fall. And good luck to Gavin Fitzpatrick as well. He's got a couple of drives on Sunday.
Yeah, no, look, it's a special day Sunday. It'll be a huge one. We're going to have you at 10:30 with your fancies. After 11, we'll have more tips as well. And in the afternoon, Amanda Rando is going to be joining us on radio for Late Mail prior to every race. And I know you'll be out there as well for Sky One. So a big meeting on Sunday. The Len Smith Mile is an absolute cracker. I've got to ask you the question.
Mm.
One final question on the pace.
Mm.
Has HRV made the right decision shifting the Vic Cup?
I think in this situation, I understand why they're cutting funds and I can live with that, but I just don't know if moving the Victoria Cup to that time in the calendar will be beneficial for the race, because a lot of people would have already had their program set. A lot of people getting ready for the Inter-Dominion don't want to have their horse 100% wound up at that stage of the year. And any of the good Kiwis, they're going to be concentrating on the New Zealand Cup. It'll be interesting to see what field they attract. Not too much consultation about that decision, but we'll see the proof will be in the pudding. If they attract a good field, then the egg's on my face.
Yeah, no, exactly. No, I think there's very much nervous anticipation from participants out there now just who will line up given that time of the year. Anyway, we'll be watching In the Gig tonight. Great show, mate, and we'll talk to you on Sunday morning. We'll hear from you at 10:30.
Can't wait, mate. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. Greg Hayes completing On the Pace.